Hello everyone, welcome to yet another episode of the Smashy Business Show. I have my co-host with me, Farah Bashir, and I'm Abdul Majid Awan. How are you, Farah?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good today. It's the 21st of October. It's a very good Monday. We're very happy. It's finally Monday. You can see it from our faces.
No, it's actually exciting. Come on. Yeah. It really is. It's a new week.
And yeah, sometimes I miss the show, right? On the weekend, sometimes when I wake up early, I have some...
You're used to it, right?
Yeah, for sure. At around 10-ish, I have this feeling of talking to the camera and to the people who listen to us.
I mean...
Yeah. So my producer was telling me before the show that we have nearly more than 200,000 listeners and monthly. And the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network, we have 1.3 million listeners. 1.326 exactly, he said. So 1.326 million listeners across the board monthly. Those are great numbers. We have nearly 33 shows. This is just one show. It's the top show. I would just like to boast a little. But yeah, it is one of the
shows. Are you trying to here to have like some competition?
Yeah, I will have a competition. It's a healthy competition. Well, it's UAE versus Saudi Arabian business
term. Well, I mean, it's okay. It's fine. As you said, it's healthy competition.
Farah also hosts one of our shows. It's the most famous one. Yeah. Everyone knows Love in Dubai. So Love in Dubai show. She hosts it with Casey Fitzgerald. Let's talk about the business stories. Let's move on to business stories. Before that, let me tell you some of the events that are happening this week at the Dubai World Trade Center. Recently Jitex ended. It was a whole 5-day event where everyone was there. It was literally that the whole world converged on the Dubai World Trade Center. RTA was there also managing the traffic. People were there looking at the new and exciting stuff that
was
happening.
Can I say something? Sorry to cut you off, but because you were talking about Jitex and on the Love in Dubai show, Casey and I both hosted actually two news stories that do actually say how like the Dubai airport will not have any more gates, no more passports. You will not need to have hold your passport, and that was like announced in Jitex.
And so you'll just come in, show your face and walk.
And even with the metro, you don't need a null card anymore by 2026. And I was like, are we turning into robots?
No, we're not turning into robots. We're turning robots into our service. They're going to do everything for us. Yeah. We saw that with Optimus, which was recently launched by Tesla, Elon Musk, obviously. He's the head of Tesla. So we saw that they were human controlled. So that was a controversy. We will talk about it. It was part of our newsletter. If you're not subscribed to it, do subscribe to it. Go to our all social channels and you'll find the link there to subscribe to our news channel, or we can just forward it to you. Send us an email at business@smashy.tv that I want the link to it. We'll very happily forward you the link to subscribe to it. Events that are happening this week, 21st to 23rd October at the Dubai World Trade Center, there is the Dubai International Food Safety Conference. Very technical, very niche conference, but if you're anywhere related to the food industry, F&B, just go there and see how the world is talking about food safety in a lot of places, not only hotels, food and catering industry, but across the board. We have the HR summit. So yeah, people who are looking for jobs, go there. We have a lot of HR companies coming in, a lot of normal companies coming in, but it's 22, 23 and 24th October. So that's like Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. That is happening at the Dubai World Trade Center. It's mostly about education, training, careers. So if you're switching your career, if you're starting your career, whatever stage you are at, go to the HR summit. It'll be a good thing. A very, very, very niche event also happening at the Dubai World Trade Center, 24, 25, 26, and 27. That's a 4-day event. It's International Federation of Sports Medicine, World Congress of Sports Medicine. So if you're in any way related to the sports industry or anything, just go there. Using a segue right now, we have a Smashy Sports Show, which happens on every Monday and Friday. Plugging in all the shows today.
Yes.
So we have a Smashy Business Show, which starts at 11. After this, Hisham hosts us. Today, I'll be hosting it. So do tune in. Go to all the Smashy Sports social channels. You can see that live there as well. And apart from that, if you want to rewatch it, just go to YouTube or go to our smashy.tv app and you can watch the show here. Let's finally move on to our main stories. First of all, we're going to talk about something that I just saw in the morning, and I was like, we need to talk about it. Dubai has approved a 390 million dirham plan. It's not a small plan. It's a big plan. Let me just open the details so I don't misquote anything. Where's click? So it's a 390 million dirham plan to transform rural areas into world-class tourism and living destinations. Again, very nice plan coming from Dubai. They're not just focusing on Burj Khalifa. They're not just sitting on their laurels. They already have a lot of feathers in their cap. Dubai Mall, biggest mall in the world. Al Ain, the big giant wheel, it opened, but it's facing some problems. But it was one of the biggest ones. There's a lot of things that are like big, first ever, huge in Dubai. But they are now focusing towards the rural areas. The main thing was that Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed, the Crown Prince of Dubai, His Highness, he approved 37 development projects slated for completion by 2028. The Sahih al-Salam Scenic Route. I don't know how to pronounce perfectly in Arabic, but Farah can help, I guess.
Yes, so it's for
Sahih
sure.
Sahih al-Salam Scenic Route, right?
It's Sahih al-Salam.
Sahih al-Salam. Yes. So yeah, Sahih it's al-Salam. A 100-kilometer road for vehicles and bicycles. It is at the heart of the initiative, and it aims to promote desert tourism. So this broader plan, this whole plan of updating or developing the rural areas is part of Dubai's 2040 Urban Master Plan to enhance the rural areas across the emirate.
Yes, I really do like that, because, you know, like when you think of the UAE, you think desert. And when you think of the desert, you think that what can you do? Can you live at the desert? However, like this project is there to boost the tourism. For tourism growth, we're going to see that happen significantly. As you said, the route's going to be like 500,000 to over 3 million. And they want to achieve that growth by 2040. Yeah. I mean, thank God we kind of like kept 2030 out of the equation for like a bit, but it's there to boost the tourism as well. Economic opportunities is going to be creating a lot of investment opportunities for local communities, which, by the way, like what I was saying at the beginning, when you think of the desert, you don't really think of like somewhere that you can really invest in, somewhere that you can go in and live at. And of course, it's going to be there, like, it's going to be combining with all of that, you know, a luxury experience of like, you can experience the regular city life, and as well, desert, camping, open air cinemas, as you said, cycling track, cultural experience, and the list goes on and on, because like, everyone who lives in the UAE loves and adores desert plants, you know, like, and specifically like during the winter, it's like the ultimate go-to plan for every resident and every citizen.
And I think developing the rural areas would be good because of one reason as well. Dubai is expanding at an exponential rate. It's not stopping. People are coming in, millionaires are coming in, billionaires are coming in. Normal people are coming in every day. They're trying to get an opportunity here. I was listening to one of the property experts yesterday, Dr. Anand. So he was saying that right now Dubai and the whole UAE is trying to reach to 400 cities in the world. They're trying to get economic deals with them, buy little trade deals with them. So that's like 400, and that's going to happen by 2030. So in the next it's nearly 5 years now, this year is ending. So yeah, in the next 5 years, 6 years, they want to attract so many countries, 100%. So many cities. That means that people will also come, and that's they will need housing. So he quoted a very good number that 38,000, there's a deficit of 38,000 homes in Dubai right now. So whenever we talk about property, we say, there's so many constructions going on. There will never be less houses. It's always, there's always a lot of houses there. So maybe the bubble will burst or anything. But he was very clear with the numbers that 38 to 39,000 houses are in deficit. So people need houses, people need living spaces. So this industry is not going anywhere. That translates into this idea that rural development will also see housing spaces. We won't only see tourism places, we'll see housing spaces, residential spaces as well. So when they build those, eventually people will move there. And this 100%. Whole scenic road will provide economic opportunities. So if you're living far away from Dubai, like on the outskirts as well, on this Sahel, what is the name again? Sorry, don't want to say anything wrong, that is why. So this Sahel Salam route, this will develop a whole corridor of economic activity, and then you can build residential places around it. And eventually those people will have jobs as well.
100%.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah, look, it's like, I mean, again, as we said, Dubai is expanding. And as it is expanding, it cannot expand without having people come in. And as people are going to be coming in, there will they will need, like, you know, like residential areas, and as well right now people are more of like living close to where they work. So I think, you know, because like it's not only going to be attracting a lot of tourism, you know, it will be attracting a lot of residents.
Yeah. It'll attract basically talent from all over the world to work there. It's 100%. Not only about building a commercial space and earning money from it. It's also about intellectual talent that they want to attract, and they are already attracting. The best talent in the world comes to Dubai, tries to get a job here, because again, one more TikTok video I was watching yesterday. One clinical psychologist, a guy was interviewing her, and they were like, "You worked in NHS. How much did you get paid?" So she was like, something. She didn't say the number.
Yeah.
And then she said, "Now you're working in Dubai. How much do you get in Dubai?" She's like, "Three times what I got in NHS. It's a government job." And then she was asked, like, "Are you paid fairly here or there in England?" And she was like, "Yeah, obviously I'm paid fairly here, because there the work environment is very difficult. The hours are longer. The pay is not that much." So she was clearly happy. So that's just one example. Look, a lot of people who move here from any country in the world, they have 100%. A very good standard of life in very less money.
And it's,
you
not
see,
only
safety
that.
Is for everyone.
Look, I have this like belief that once you come to Dubai, you don't leave. I literally,
Your mind is always here, even if you leave.
Literally, you know, because like I had met this lady, she's from the UK, and she was like, "I used to live in the UK, and I moved here. And ever since I came here, I cannot leave. I can't leave that." It's like, she tried, but then she came back. Because, like, you know, once you come here, you don't only experience safety, you experience opportunities, and you see them day by day. As you said, there's, like, this HR event that's going to be happening. It's, like, that's the stuff that's, like, when you live in the UAE, opportunities are everywhere in front of you. They're in your face.
They're abundant, and they're in a lot.
Yes,
basically.
Love that word, abundance.
So just concluding this news, the first phase of development will improve local services with new parks, nurseries, healthcare facilities, and more. So they're building an infrastructure around which they'll build the whole tourism thing. 5 tourist stations and 156 kilometers of cycle tracks will be developed. That's a very long one. Our CEO loves cycling, so maybe he'll go there. It's a good sign for him as well. So people who love cycling, obviously, they'll go there, along with desert activities like hot air balloon rides, kayaking, and dune bashing. It's not just the simple stuff, it's the complicated, the bigger stuff as hot air balloon rides. I guess Turkey is famous for it. In Dubai, we also have hot air balloon rides, right? I've never been to one. I hate heights.
We do, but they're mainly like in the desert. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So however, it will be one of the areas where you will get this opportunity.
True.
Hot air balloon rides, kayaking, and dune bashing. The project is said to be completed by 2028, as said earlier, laying the foundation for Dubai's long-term growth as a global tourism and business hub, as outlined in the 2040 Urban Master Plan. So whenever you see anything about property, development, construction, anything, it's part of the larger 2040 Urban Master Plan that Dubai has. They want to, I remember one point from it, that they want to make it a 20-minute city.
Oh,
10
yeah.
or 20
that,
minutes.
Yeah.
So from one corner of Dubai, you can literally go to another corner in 20 minutes using roads,
I mean,
air taxis.
We already I'm seeing that implemented, you know, with all of the new bridges opening up on Al Khail Road and next to
JBC.
From
my house, it took me like 20-25 minutes because I had to take a very long turn and then a U-turn and then a circle turn and then eventually I would land here in Production City. But now, because of the bridge, it takes me 7-8 minutes. So it's just come out, take the bridge, land into Production
City.
Literally
at this point, you know, they are aware of the fact that the UAE is growing. A lot of people are moving to the UAE, and they are like, all of the projects are happening and being implemented for the good sake of the residents.
And can't move on without just mentioning the air taxis that are supposed to come by 2026. They were displayed at London station, if I remember correctly, Charing Station in the UK. They were displayed there, and UAE has this whole big idea that Invest in UAE. We saw the actor, what is his name? Producer, can you tell me? Idris Elba, I remember. Idris Elba was the face of that campaign, Invest in the Emirates. So as a part of that campaign, UAE put an air taxi in UK to show where the UAE is going. And the caption, if I remember correctly, it said that even the taxis fly in the UAE.
I'm telling you, like in the UAE, the sky is the limit. Yeah.
They don't want to stop at anything. 100%. I don't know if after air taxis, they'll have air buses as well. So with Dubai, you never know. They'll come up with the craziest of things and then actually execute it. That's the good thing. You never know. Yeah. Let's move on. Swivel, what of the tech-driven mobility solutions. Everyone who has traveled by Swivel will know what Swivel is. Swivel is an Egyptian brand. It's a mass taxi. It's Uber for buses. Basically, the title is Uber for buses, the informal title. They've opened a regional headquarters in Saudi Arabia. So why did they open a regional headquarters in Saudi Arabia now? That's the biggest question right now, because they've been in the market for a long time. They had their small offices in different areas. Swivel is there in Pakistan as well, so I know them very closely. The move is part of Swivel's strategies to strengthen its presence in the GCC region. But more importantly, if now you want a government contract in Saudi Arabia, you need to have a regional headquarter in Saudi Arabia. So that is why you will see in the coming days, and you've already seen in the past, a lot of big companies are moving to Saudi Arabia. The funny thing and the interesting thing is that it's called a regional headquarter.
Yeah.
It's not called a Saudi or a local headquarter. So Saudi Arabia, very smart move. They're trying to bring companies to Saudi Arabia and say it's a regional headquarter, sit here and do business throughout the GCC.
But I was thinking about that it's a win-win situation. Yeah. Because like we know that the economy in Egypt is not really doing that great. So in that case, it's going to be doing Swivel a lot of positive. It's already got
2.6 million dollars in new annual contracts in Saudi Arabia during the third quarter. So only the third quarter, they got 2.6 million in annual contracts from Saudi Arabia. So even before opening the regional headquarters, like with the news that they are opening, even during the paperwork, they got a lot of money out of it. And that was 10% of the company's 2023 full year revenue. So it's a big number coming out for Swivel from Saudi Arabia. And the main thing that, again, I want to focus on is Saudi Arabia is playing very smartly.
It is.
They don't want to say, oh, just open an office here and contribute to our economy. Yeah. They're saying, come to our country, set up a regional headquarter. Google recently opened their regional headquarter in Riyadh because, again, Google also wants government contracts. So they opened it in Riyadh. That was a good story that we did. It did really good. People loved the story. Has a lot of likes and shares. So, yeah, every big company sooner or later will go there. I remember one of the companies from ADGM, they were already in the Middle East. They were in ADGM Abu Dhabi Global Market, and they were doing good. But then they wanted contracts from the Saudi government as well. So they picked up their office and they opened their regional office there. So again, Saudi Arabia playing very smart, trying to lure everyone who has an office in the region, but not in Saudi Arabia.
100%. To come and open. Yeah. Look, that is very smart because like in that way, it's like a win-win situation, as we said, you know, with Swivel for what's happening in Egypt and the economy, and as well with Saudi Arabia, because it will align with their 2030 vision. And we know that Saudi Arabia is recent, in the past couple of years, which is like not really too long ago, they decided to open up and have this like whole vision. However, they are in competition with the UAE and as well the other Gulf neighboring countries. So this kind of like support towards Swivel will be supporting their 2030 vision, which will as well diversify their economy, and as well the technology-driven mobility solutions are designed to improve operational efficiency for businesses. And not only that, it will as well establish a regional headquarters, which will position Swivel to take advantage of government contracts. So as we said, it's like a win-win situation from all aspects.
And soon, Saudi Arabia is already Swivel's fastest growing market. It is already there. So it will play a central role in their long-term growth and expansion strategy. So Swivel going to Saudi Arabia, opening a regional headquarter, yeah. Good for Swivel and Saudi Arabia, obviously. It's always good 100%. For Saudi Arabia, any company coming to the country and investing. Yeah. Let's talk about AI. In the start of the show, we talked about Jitex happening. We also talked about Expand North Star, that it happened. It was with Jitex. It's Dubai World Trade Center and the Dubai Commerce Initiative, which was happening under Jitex. But apart from that, there was another event happening, which a lot of people didn't focus on. Only the core, hardcore business people were focusing on. That was the World Economic Forum conference. So UAE's Minister of State for AI, Umar Al-Ulama, warned that artificial intelligence could spiral out of control if not regulated promptly. And he had a good reason behind it. So he was speaking at the annual meeting of the Global Future Councils in Dubai. He urged governments to establish proactive boundaries for AI, drawing comparison to social media's unregulated rise. This is a very, very big topic. If we start talking about it, it'll open a lot of cases. We'll have to talk about Pavel Durov, how he has now, he was a face for freedom of speech and whatever you want to say from
then
Telegram.
Later on got arrested.
Yeah, but since his arrest, he said that now Telegram is finally going to share their data with government or prosecution authorities, whoever asks for it, if he sees there is criminal activity. And obviously, when you have such a closed platform, there is criminal activity happening. So he bowed down. Elon Musk, X's owner and face of X, Elon Musk, basically. He also has included in
terms and conditions?
Yeah, terms and conditions. There's a small part that they will share your data with third parties.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to, but they said you can opt out, but the option is still not there on Twitter to opt out. So by the end of this year and the first half of 2025, X will start sharing your data with third parties, and third parties will use it to train their AI models. That's a complicated process that is going to happen, but you can opt out of it. That's the good part that Elon Musk said, and the terms of conditions say that you can opt out. The only problem is, when do you get the option to opt out? Or is it really happening right now? Is any third party who's training their AI getting your data or not? So a lot of questions have arisen. So that is why UAE's Minister of State for AI, Umar Al-Ulama, has said that you have to be careful because social media is getting out of hand. You don't want that to happen with AI. So that's his saying.
There's a saying that we have in my country that a little bit of anything can be toxic. So like if you are too exposed to AI or social media, it can turn against you and not with you. Something that can be working with you can be turning against you. And I actually do agree with Umar Al-Alama, because like AI being so dependent on it can really be so, cannot be to our benefit. Yeah. You know, it can, our security can be at a high risk, because like you're sharing information, you're sharing data that you never know who will or where will to.
See, with ChatGPT, it clearly says when you're using ChatGPT, you go to your settings. That I've seen firsthand. You go to ChatGPT settings. I was trying to access some memory of mine. I was trying to delete them because it started giving you replies in a very weird way. So I was trying to delete those memories and try to delete the archives and everything. So I saw an option which clearly says that your data is being used to train ChatGPT itself. So if you're working for some secret firm, or you have some company which has secret data or like copyrighted data, and you're using ChatGPT to like rephrase it or anything, ChatGPT will store it in its memory to train itself and to train any other thing that OpenAI is making. So that data, if you specifically ask for it, if someone knows how to prompt to get that data, ChatGPT has it stored. Yeah. It will share it with them. So that way, ChatGPT is not like safe. So if you're working in a very closed environment where a lot of corporates, they're doing deals and they're talking about stuff, if you put it on ChatGPT, there is no guarantee that ChatGPT will not share that information that you put into it with someone else, because it is 100%. Using your data, whatever talks it has with you, to train itself. So the better idea is go to that option and close it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so 100%. Don't allow ChatGPT to use your data to train itself. That's the only thing that you can do. That's the only option to safeguard yourself right now.
It's not only that, you know, it's like, it's not only ChatGPT. It's like, you know, we are dealing with AI on a daily basis, whether it's Instagram, whether it is Snapchat. Oh my God, Snapchat. X, and the list goes on and on of all of
even
those.
Even when you use Canva, we're putting prompts, so give me this. It saves that prompt. So if, for example, on Canva, you put a prompt and you get four pictures and you choose one. Now Canva's AI is trained to understand that if someone writes this prompt, they want this kind of a picture.
Literally.
Yeah. So, it's very AI is training itself on the basis of what we talk to it about.
Exactly.
So stop talking.
I mean, it's... talking. No, I think, you know, like the best option is to understand that we are dealing with technology, but we are the human and we know we can control it. You know, it shouldn't control us.
Yeah. So just like I tell my son whenever he's trying to jump from the sofa, be careful.
Yeah.
Likewise, whenever you're using AI, it's not a problem. They're very good tools that you can use. Just go to the settings. Just take 5 minutes out. Mm-hmm. Go to the setting and see if storing your data and can give it to someone else for future purposes. Or maybe it uses the information that you give it to it and it stores it. And maybe if someone specifically, good prompt, asks for it, it will give it to you. So yeah, just be careful with it. It's not a bad thing. It's the same classic example of a knife. You can cut someone's throat or you can cut the fruit. Just cut the fruit.
Yeah.
Be careful. So yeah, that's what we've talked about. A lot of things. Mainly that... AI is should be regulated. UAE's Minister of State for AI says it should be regulated and there should be a global rule, global set of rules and regulations which govern it. It shouldn't be let go wild like social media. So that's one thing. Apart from that, we talked about UAE developing the rural areas. $390 million plan is in place. 37 projects will take place under it. And Swivel is opened a regional headquarters in Saudi Arabia. Why is everyone going to Saudi Arabia for the regional headquarters? It's very simple. Saudi Arabia has a rule in place that you cannot take government contracts from Saudi Arabia, which are in millions and billions, by the way, right now, because of the development that's happening. So you need to have a regional headquarter. That is why Swivel opened a regional headquarter in Saudi Arabia and a lot of companies as well. Thank you very much for joining us. If you've missed anything, you can go back to all our socials, watch this live again, go to YouTube, press live, see the whole show again, get all the information that we gave to you in the morning. Apart from that, if you want to see all the news happening across the globe and specifically in the MENA region, just go to our socials, follow us. We do a lot of great stories. We try to do a lot of great stories. You can tell us in the comments if you're doing good or great stories. At 11 p.m., we have the Smashy Sports Show. And the Smashy Sports Show is also under the Augustus Media Network, podcast network. Thank you very much. Take care. See you. If you are not into video, lastly, just go to audio platforms, Podio, go to Angami, Spotify. Wherever there is audio platform, we're there as Smashy Business. Just go there and listen to us. Just put your earphones and do the work and listen to us. Thank you very much. This is the Smashy Business Show. It's a Smashy Business production, part of the larger Augustus Media podcast network with 1.326 million.
Do you need to say that all the time? It's like 1.3.
Just a little boasting is good always. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. Have a great Monday.